KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a little bit of sun trying to peek through the clouds and 41 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our news is brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In area news, two men were arrested Wednesday afternoon in Pottawatomie County in connection with a theft of metal from private property. Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Danker told KJAN News yesterday morning the men were taken into custody following an investigation that resulted from a call his office received at around 1:30 p.m. Wednesday about a suspicious brown pickup truck with two people inside in the vicinity of 145th Street and Sandy Loop, or about 5 miles northwest of Crescent.
Deputy responded and located an individual by some buildings, was there with a torch cutting up old farm implements and anything of metal there that he could. He said that he'd been dropped off by his boss in that pickup, and he had been there most of the week cutting that up, and they've taken three loads of this iron to scrap metal dealers in Omaha.
Another deputy located the driver of the pickup and brought him back to the scene.
We did contact the owners of the property and of the equipment. They said that nobody had permission to be there. Nobody had permission to be cutting up those implements. Both individuals were arrested.
The man who was allegedly doing the cutting was identified as 52-year-old Terry Kelly from Omaha. He was charged with theft in the second degree, burglary in the third degree, criminal mischief in the second degree, and possession of burglary tools. The driver of the pickup, 47-year-old John Gunderson of Missouri Valley, was charged with driving while barred and theft in the fifth degree. Both men were brought to the Pottawatomie County Jail and held on $10,000 bond each in association with the second degree theft charge. News time is 8:02.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent request to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Deputy Brian Miller and his canine partner Francisco have scored another drug bust. Sheriff Jeff Danker told KJAN News Thursday that Deputy Miller stopped a 2012 Toyota Tundra pickup for speeding along eastbound Interstate 80 at around 11:25 a.m. Wednesday. After talking with the driver, Miller became suspicious about the man's story.
The driver said he had gone to Oregon and to visit some friends, and he was on his way back. Said the individuals, he appeared extremely nervous, hands were shaking. I think he said there was some other indicators there that looked like he had been driving a long time, or what he calls it's kind of a lived-in look. In other words, it looks like he's, you know, been on the road a lot. And his story didn't really, everything he said was a little suspicious.
After issuing the driver a warning citation for speeding, Miller asked and was refused permission to search the vehicle.
He did a free air sniff with Francisco, his canine. Francisco indicated on the bed of the pickup. The bed of the pickup was checked, and he found like three duffel bags with vacuum-sealed bags of marijuana. Weight was approximately about 90 pounds of marijuana.
The driver, 30-year-old Andrew Ducharme of Guilford, Connecticut, was placed under arrest and charged with possession of a controlled substance with the intent to deliver, prohibited acts, and a tax stamp violation. Ducharme was also issued a warning for the speeding violation. He was brought to the Pottawatomie County Jail and later posted a $5,000 bond. The Clarinda Police Department is keeping busy these days investigating reported incidents of theft. Chief Keith Brothers says on Wednesday the Come-and-Go convenience store in Clarinda reported a gas drive-off amounting to just over $35. That same day, Clarinda resident Michael Foster reported the theft of a Lennox 3-ton air conditioning unit and 4-bin stainless steel buffet table from the rear of a business owned by Foster at 215 South 16th Street. The loss was estimated at $3,800. This past Monday, Michaela Westover of Clarinda reported to police that a 2003 Chevrolet Cavalier she owned had been tampered with while the vehicle was parked in the 300 block of North 11th Street. Officials say it appeared to be a white granular substance that had been poured into the gas tank. That incident occurred sometime between November 2nd and 5th. There was no damage estimate available. Also on Monday, Rodney Johnston of Clarinda reported a chainsaw and case valued at $250 was stolen from the bed of Johnston's truck while it was parked in the Hy-Vee food store parking lot in Clarinda. On Saturday, Griff Taylor of Newmarket reported his identity had been fraudulently used at the Aiken Building Center in Clarinda to purchase about $2,700 worth of building and construction supplies. All of those incidents remain under investigation by the Clarinda Police Department, with the Page County Sheriff's Office assisting in the identity theft investigation. A Lennox teen faces a criminal mischief charge after authorities investigated an incident of vandalism. According to the Lennox Police Department, at around 5:30 p.m. Tuesday, officers were called to the city park in reference to vandalism. When they arrived, police were shown a concrete bench which had been broken. Witnesses indicated they'd seen a male juvenile jumping on and kicking the bench intentionally, causing the damage. After further investigation, an unidentified 15-year-old male was charged with third-degree criminal mischief. He was referred to the juvenile court officer. Dental records have confirmed skeletal remains found buried in the basement of a home in Sac City earlier this week are those of the home's former owner who went missing more than 3 years ago. Mark Coster was 58 years old. Sac City Police Chief John Thompson said both Coster and a mystery friend who was living in the home were last seen in May of 2009.
We know his name is Tom, and he lived with Mr. Coster, you know, 3 months prior to his disappearance. We were told that he could be from possibly Florida or possibly Texas.
Coster was officially listed as a missing person in 2010. At the time, investigators searched the home but found no signs of foul play or Coster. Thompson would not exactly say how the remains were hidden.
Where Mr. Coster's body found was in a suspicious spot. So we're trying to find who this unknown roommate is he had, and we were be awaiting the autopsy results to see where it goes.
No one has lived in the house since Coster disappeared. His family sold the house 6 months ago. The new owner, who buys, remodels, and sells home for a living, found the remains on Monday while working in the basement. Thompson said the focus of the investigation now is identifying and finding Coster's roommate.
It's mainly now just, you know, following a paper trail of trying to locate who this Tom might be.
Elsewhere in the news, the Atlantic City Council on Wednesday had discussed a report from the Community Protection Committee with regard to a petition it received to reduce the speed limit on West 22nd Street from 45 to 35 miles per hour along with that particular stretch of road. Mayor Pro Tem Steve Livengood chairs the CPC.
What we had is a petition that said please lower it, but they didn't say why. And so we really didn't know why. We weren't able to bring them in for a public hearing. It wouldn't have been appropriate on a committee anyhow. And the only reason we can find out why they want to lower it is to have a public hearing. So what we're doing is we're recommending that we amend the ordinance to lower the speed limit, simply because when we do that, that will require an ordinance change, which will require public hearings, and we can talk about why they think it ought to be lowered. Because I have a list with signatures on it, that's really probably not good enough to lower it.
During discussion, Councilman Dana Halter Wednesday said he understands the likely safety concerns among residents in the newly developed area, but he also said there are alternatives for those residents who fear getting hit backing out of their driveways.
You got to understand that the speed limit was there when they moved in, the majority of them, if not all of them. I think some of this was covered when that subdivision basically was put in with turnaround lanes in their driveways.
Yes.
So those people don't have to back out onto that street. They can turn around in their driveway and drive out. And I think that was one of the reasons for that, was because of the speed limit.
And during the public forum portion of Wednesday night's meeting, Keith Harlan, who has lived in the area for 16 years, said he was one of the residents who signed the petition.
And I've noticed since the new paving is in, the traffic is moving faster through there. And my personal concern is I come out my driveway, which maybe lays just a little bit over the east side of the hill, and I look and pull out, and at least a couple times a week I'll get about halfway down that hill and somebody's right on my bumper. So that is why I signed it at the time. And I realize, you know, engineers have sight distances, and maybe it's in compliance with all that. I just know that when I come out there with my Suburban, that's the way it works. And I'm probably old enough to watch out for it. Hopefully my wife will, or anybody visiting there. So I'd hate to see somebody get smacked.
Additional public input will be taken during the next city council meeting before action on amending the ordinance is taken. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, officials in New York City and on Long Island are hoping to cut down on long lines at the pump with a rationing plan that took effect today. Motorists can fill up their tanks only every other day based on the last number or letter of their license plates. Lines were long after some gas stations lost power following last week's superstorm, but this week's nor'easter made things even worse. Democrats are hoping that President Obama will get tough today when he reminds Congress that it'll have to make a decision soon in order to avoid automatic spending cuts and tax increases in January. Obama has been pushing for a plan that would mean higher tax rates for upper-income earners, but Republicans have resisted. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the Republican Party sent mixed messages on immigration and women's issues during the election campaign. She tells CBS's This Morning program that her fellow Republicans must adapt better to the rapidly changing face of America. Rice said clearly, "We are losing important segments of the electorate." JCPenney customers apparently still aren't buying its pricing plan that got rid of hundreds of discounts. The department store chain is reporting a bigger-than-expected loss and plummeting sales for the third quarter, a $123 million loss, or 56 cents per share, in the quarter that ended on October 27th. And finally in the news, election officials in the Atlanta, Georgia area are defending their decision to allow singer Usher to bypass long lines and cast his ballot on Election Day, infuriating voters who had to wait. Fulton County election officials say the singer was escorted to the front of the line to minimize distractions at his Roswell polling place. The station reports that Usher took cell phone pictures of himself voting and then posted them on Twitter. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent request to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
"Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?"
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And in the funeral announcements, Bonnie Betts, age 84, of Atlantic, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Bonnie Betts will be this morning at 11 o'clock at the Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Isla Jean Cahale, age 86, of Guthrie Center, died Thursday. Funeral services for Isla Cahale will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Sophia Sherwin, age 102, of Atlantic, died November 2nd. Funeral services for Sophia Sherwin will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the First Lutheran Church south of Wyota. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Carolyn Lynham, age 87, of Indianola and formerly of Greenfield, died October 29th. Memorial services for Carolyn Lynham will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Village in Indianola. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Ruth Means, age 90, of Fontenelle, died Wednesday. Graveside services for Ruth Means will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Fontenelle Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Rita Wegeman, age 95, of Omaha, died Thursday. A massive Christian burial service for Rita Wegeman will be Monday at 11 a.m. at the St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Dwayne Nielsen, age 69, of Atlantic, died November 2nd. Memorial services for Dwayne Nielsen will be on Monday at 1 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Goldie Rose Allman, age 97, of Anita, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Goldie Allman will be held next Tuesday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Anita. Dwayne Darnold, age 80, of Atlantic and formerly of Villisca, died Sunday. Memorial services for Dwayne Darnold will be held at a later date at the Wolf Funeral Home in Villisca. Homer Lauer, age 80, of the Hill of Zion area, died Thursday. Funeral services for Homer Lauer are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Irma Madsen, age 91, of Kimbleton, died Thursday in Council Bluffs. Services for Irma Madsen are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton. Our funeral report and news brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Henson reporting.